Texas was part of Mexico back in the 60s.
I don't believe that's true. Possibly. In the 1960s.
A few years ago, yeah.
Then
Joe Rogan came and they were like, okay, we'll make it.
He got them their freedom. Yeah.
Have you ever had a question you wanted to ask opposite race but you were too nervous to ask?
I'm Turner Sparks.
And I'm Phil Duckett.
And this is Black and White Advice.
Where we answer all your questions about race, even the scary ones.
This is Black and White Advice.
You've got a question but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't always nice, but you can't think twice.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Turner Sparks.
The real deal, Phil the Thrill.
What's up? Episode 14. We got a great show today. We got Martin Urbano coming up in just a minute. We got Joe, the Muscle Russell, on the ones and twos.
What's up?
We got a real microphone this time.
Yeah.
And we got a new setup in the studio, so hopefully... It's cramped in here.
It's still better than our knees touching the whole fucking 45 minutes. I prefer.
You mean the last two episodes we recorded?
Every episode, our knees rub. It's very.
Yeah, we doubled. It's the same size room, but we doubled the size of the table.
I think it was smart doing the separate table.
Here's the lesson. We got to get out of here. We need to get to a real podcast studio, and there's only one way to do it.
Rome wasn't built in a day. We're already fucking growing the Patreon. We're so close to hitting our first goal, which terrifies the fuck out of me because...
If you don't know, here's the goal. When we get to $250 in Patreon subscriptions, I'm taking Phil to his first punk rock concert. We're putting him in the mosh pit. We're going to dress him up punk, whatever that means.
When
these days.
I was a young boy.
Not emo. My father. Your reference is always emo. We're going hardcore.
That's
we're going,
all I keep thinking of.
We're going NYC hardcore, the straight edge D-bags.
That's how I know I don't know the difference between emo and punk. Like, it's all just thoroughly white
you're,
to me.
You're
so
about
I'm
to
like,
know.
Oh.
We're now at $56 in pledges. We started this a week ago or 2 weeks ago or something. We have four subscribers. Four people, $56. It's pretty good. I want to shout them out. So we got, first of all, who do we have? Tug.
Tug, the original OG.
The original. The Tugboats.
The first one.
Is the name of the community right now. If you put in $20, you get to name the group. They're the Tugboats. We have my dad, Gary Sparks.
What up, Big G?
G Unit. We got Fun Kilo just joined this week.
Fun Kilo?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's subscribed. Oh!
I don't know what you're into.
Now we're talking Phil's language. And a new $20 a month there, we got Will Prechuck, and he says he's ready to rename the name of the group.
Let's rewind that. I don't know what that means. We're talking Phil's language, all right? I've smelled Coke like four times.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's not just put it out there like I'm Pablo. But, yeah, I do. I respect the craft, you know.
Respect the drug-snorting craft.
I respect the craft, you know.
Anyway, point is, Will Prechuck's in for $20.
All right.
And he said he's ready to rename the group. So he had three suggestions on the name of our fan group and then fan club. We can call them whatever we want. But these are our top three. Ready? He said he one option. So they're no longer called the Tugboats.
Okay.
They can either be Speed Racers, they can be Rat Beef Rubberneckers, or Gentry Fires.
You know which one I'm going for. Because I'm gonna be honest, the second one sounded like you was getting real close to saying. So I didn't really know the Roughneck Rubbleneckers. I was like, okay.
I think we're going Gentry Fires.
Gentry Fires is hard. What's up, boy?
Fire as in F-I-R-E-S?
Yeah.
Named Gentry. After your special?
Gentry Fires. That's wordplay right
Should
there.
Should that stay
what
forever?
What was his name again?
Will Prechuck.
Will Prechuck, my boy. What up, Nick?
Give it to him. Why not?
I told him, if you pay $20, I'm going to call you my nigga. And that's just how that goes.
Will Prechuck. All right. So we got the Gentry Fires. We're up to $56 a month, which means we're $194 away from Phil getting in a mosh pit. Are you going to get out of chair?
I'm going to do metal chair. A steel cage match. I'm going WWE. I'm going to break somebody's face. What are you talking about? First mosh pit? I'm going to try to punch somebody right in their shit.
All right. Now, let's get to the show. Oh, wait. And then I'm going to be on the road. Provo, Utah, February 1st. We're Newport Richey, Florida, February 8th. Stay away from that.
Because a lot got edited out of that last one.
No. We'll do it on the we'll do it on the Patreon bonus content. So I'm going to Provo to shoot a dry bar comedy special. We talked about that last episode. Phil immediately started talking about Mormons. We had to cut it all out of the episode. But we'll talk about it on the Patreon. So for all of our Patreon subscribers, if you join now at the end of this episode, stick around. All right. We have a great guest today, everybody. This guy, he's absolutely hilarious, performs all over the place. He has a new comedy special out, available right now on YouTube. It's called The Apology Comeback Tour. Martin Urbano, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What's going on, Vato?
How you doing, man?
Chilling. Yourself?
Yeah, all right. I mean, listen, I'm going to Provo, Utah, so life's good.
That's exciting. Congrats. Yeah.
Have you been?
Never been.
They don't let us in. This is my first time.
Oh, wait, no, I've been to the airport. I've, like, you know, Salt Lake City. If you have a Delta flight.
Utah. Let's not do that.
It's my first time.
It's the motherland.
It's my first.
You can't say you've been to the airport and say it's your first time.
Okay. Well, I've been to Frankfurt Airport in Germany, but I wouldn't say I've been to Germany. Really? Oh. It's where. There you go.
Yeah, so that means I've been to Germany.
Do you say you've been to Germany?
I went to this small small town in Germany called Saarbrücken. Saarbrücken, I believe it's spelled, but I'm probably butchering
what,
the name.
What for?
So back when I was a whore, I had a sugar mama, and she had meetings in Europe, so she flew me out there to fuck her in between her meetings.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was back in my 2017. Wow. Which, can you believe that was 8 years ago? I was like, yeah, a few years ago. I'm like, that was 8 years ago.
That was 2017. Shit.
That was in 2017.
Oh, I knew you then. I didn't know you were doing that well.
I was homeless. You think I just thought I was just going to fucking go to the wayside?
We were at the Lantern in
back 2017. Back then, yeah. That's when we were performing at the
Lantern. Where were you in 2017? Were you here in New York? I was.
That's when I was doing my Kimmel set. That was a highlight. And it's just been all
everybody
kind of
go
down
watch the Kimmel set. It's absolutely hilarious. You do, what's it called? Where you get the paper out. What are those things called?
Mad Libs.
Mad Libs. Yeah. And the reveal is that you're a sexual predator.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic.
That was a good year. That was a good year.
So your whole that's still part of the act, right? That you're so his character on stage, Phil,
is a pedophile,
is a registered sex offender, and throughout the
this
set,
is a character
please,
you chose.
The proper term is
you picked this character.
Yeah,
I thought that's what they labeled you, but he was like, "No,
it's
I chose
so
this."
Funny.
I'm gonna go check that out. For
and
sure.
It's also like you prefer. It's a jolly character, so it's like a happy-go-lucky pedophile. Is how that's I good. Would yeah, explain yeah. it. Is that right?
That's accurate. Yeah,
he's like giggling through revealing that he can't go near school zones.
Oh my! Yeah, I'll have to go check that out.
You gotta watch it. Ridiculous. And you're from Texas, Austin?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're. Yeah. Mexican, not Indian, right? Like that's whole.
It felt racist.
Yeah, so I have a bit.
It felt racist.
Oh yeah, without watching the set, you don't know what I'm talking
about.
He's
like, you're Mexican, not Indian, right?
Yeah. In the act, Phil. In the act, you go back and forth
again.
Out of context, my act sounds insane, but it makes sense when you watch the piece.
I'm gonna watch it when I'm at home because now I gotta see it. It sounds crazy, guys, but it's all in good fun.
He's a Mexican, maybe Indian pedophile.
All right, I like that. That's what's up. Do you when you did the Kimmel show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did your touring increase? Did that like open up a lot of doors for you? Like, did you see that immediately?
Yeah, that was a big year. I got to do Bonnaroo.
I
did Bonnaroo. Yeah, before. Like, I don't know if they do comedy there anymore, but for a while they did. And they used to have like a tent. And then it was like, now you're going to perform at random barns. And now they just got rid of it. They're like, no one comes
what
to
was
Bonnaroo
comedy like
for comedy.
Bonnaroo?
It was fine, but people were just like hanging out there at like 2 p.m. Be like, okay, I kind of want to go party now.
Right.
But it was so fun because we got to be treated like rock stars.
Right.
Like they like drove us around. We got to go to the VIP, hang out like backstage like
who else
at the
like
Killers.
Green
and
Day and stuff?
The Killers, Eminem, Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
With Slim
Shady? Yeah, not him. But
Slim was like, yeah, no, so we're gonna do a couple oxys
at that was like the closing night, so I was busy.
And you guys are in, are people seated?
Yeah, it was like in a barn. People were sitting on the ground.
That's
for like one of the shows.
I was thinking like how they do, like there's just an open field of standing. I was like, that's gotta be tough for a comedy. But
I think Adam Devine, he opened for a band. I forget which band, but he was just kind of like shouting and the audience would cheer.
Yeah,
you know, it's like not really stand up at that point.
Gosh, okay. Yeah.
When I moved here, I remember everyone's credit was Adam Devine's house party.
Yeah, yeah.
And me and Joe Schaefer had just moved here and we've been living out of the country for 12 years. We didn't know who Adam Devine was or what his house party was, but we were hosting all over town and everyone told us they wanted, like, how do you want to be brought up? You always ask. And they go, oh, just Adam Devine's house party. And after like a month, Schaefer goes, dude, who the fuck is this guy with the house party?
Wait,
he's like, how famous is this person that their house party is a credit? And then we found out it was a TV show.
That would probably throw me off. I wasn't in country. But did you say Adam Levine or Adam Devine?
Devine? Is it Devine? The workaholics guy.
Okay, yeah. For a minute, I'm like, he opened for somebody from Maroon 5? I was like, yeah. Wow, Maroon must have been killing that year. Okay, he was the funny guy from Workaholics. Okay, I mean, yeah, everybody was in on that, but I don't remember being that many comics on that.
Yeah, they might have been.
They were all. Yeah, like, yeah, that's how everyone. It was a decent amount, but it wasn't that many.
Everyone, it was the clubs.
At the Lantern.
It was the clubs and colleges of that time. You've seen him at clubs and colleges. Gotcha, around that. Gotcha. You've seen him on Adam Devine's house.
Like, nobody's going to check.
Devine or whatever. Yeah. What was so you started in Austin, right?
I started in Texas, but a lot of formative years in Austin. This was, you know, 2013
prior to
2016,
to Joe Rogan even sleep,
way before any of it. Yeah,
how many clubs were there at that time? One.
There was two. It was Cap City and Velveeta Room, which is Velveeta Room's smaller one on like 6th Street, which is a big party street.
Yeah.
Have you been to Austin?
I've been to Austin. I never performed there, but it is a fun turn up town.
It's a good time. Yeah. You go to 6th Street?
Yeah. Oh, those cowboy boots on them women. Yeah.
You got me a spot at Cap City.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
so,
you got me like who's Wednesday. He has no idea.
Oh, nice.
You got
me.
Who was it?
It was like a Wednesday night show, and the host is a radio DJ in town or something.
So it was Punch. Might have been Tuesday's show.
Maybe
right?
It was Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was packed.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Punch. Yeah, nice.
It was one of those times you show up in a town and you do 7 minutes, and you feel like I think I'm okay.
Yeah,
that was a good show.
And then you come back to New York and bomb at the Lantern.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Lightshed 3.
Do you go back there now and do comedy?
You know, I taped my special there at Moon Tower.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was...
What's it like
interesting.
Now? It was interesting. What's like the Rogan world like now?
It's a different vibe. It's a different vibe comedically. Weird stuff was a lot more like, that's where I like developed it. And then now it feels a little bit more bro-y, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff, there was a disconnect for sure.
God.
Yeah. You know, I'm performing in Brooklyn Rooms and now I'm taking it to this Austin. And it was kind of different.
Would you
so
say
crazy.
That the Austin market is like officially oversaturated now with this? Because I hear a lot of like young comics who aren't getting booked. They're like, I think I'm moving to Austin.
Oh,
I'm like, you're not funny in New York or Austin, so it really don't matter. Yeah. You can go wherever.
It's a new option, but I don't know what it's going to be like. Again, that was like my only experience with it. I hadn't been back in years. Just
and when you
taping
were doing
my special.
It, so my impression when I went to go and I was performing in Austin was it was like a quirky, creative scene
mm-hmm.
of comedy.
At that time.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. this was, I don't know, 2018 or 17 or something.
Yeah.
And it was like very experimental, almost like Brooklyn-y sort.
Yes. Yes.
In a good way. Everybody was unique. Everybody was doing like a totally different crazy thing.
Yeah.
And then now to imagine it being like just Joe Rogan clones.
Yeah.
Like who's everybody's trying to be more racist than the next person.
Mm-hmm.
It feels bizarre.
It was. And then like I'm doing like a character kind of making fun of some of that stuff. And
yeah.
So then people are like, wait, what? We like what you're doing, but also hate it. I don't know.
Yeah, his special is called the different. Apology Comeback Special. So is this coming back from being a convicted pedophile?
Like, the
I'm telling
we gotta stop see. Calling my boy a pedophile because if they're not familiar
That's
with
the
him,
ex.
They're gonna be like, why is this guy so proud
well,
of
get
fucking
familiar
children?
With him? He's hilarious.
I'm just saying, I'm speaking for the guests who don't and have not seen it. So when you hear this, there's a lot of like, oh.
Now you see the problem in marketing this special. Like,
no, he's not actually a pedophile. He just plays one.
Listen, yeah. NBC.
Exactly.
This is
sort of the reverse Chris D'Elia.
So. Okay.
Exactly.
I like,
yes.
You might have a shot then, buddy. Reverse Chris. That's how you got to pitch it. Reverse Chris D'Elia.
Yeah,
pedophile, sweetest guy. That's what's up. Okay. Damn.
Yeah.
So, all right. So this is what I want to know. Now, because I've talked to a couple people who've done the mothership.
Mm.
If I don't know, but
never
they
done
told
it.
Me the pay at the mothership is $1,500
Woo!
For 10 minutes.
I've heard that.
That's
too.
Incredible.
10 minutes.
Wow.
I would never headline. Just book me for my guest spot opening, and I'm here 3 times a week.
That's amazing.
That's insane. They
wow.
said it actually dropped after COVID. They told me. I don't
sure.
know what it is. But at the beginning.
That's every club. I mean, no one. They don't pay you 15 minutes for 10 minutes or 15.
Oh, anywhere else, but at the mothership. Yeah, I mean, and then you start doing 30s and stuff. You're talking $4,000 or $5,000. Like that.
I've heard that.
Yeah, so that's how it was, and so they said they've decreased it a little bit. But even if you decreased it by 20%, boys, what are we talking about?
Well, who was I was talking to somebody
yeah,
on the
that's
road.
That's awesome.
That's a great life.
I should have done my special there.
Yeah, I was talking to someone, I forget who, Tom Rhodes, I think, and he was telling me that he's been around since, like, the 80s, and he was like, yeah, you used to get, you know, like, whatever, say, $2,500 in the 80s to headline a weekend, and now you get whatever you get, you know?
Right.
But, so I just, like, looked, and he's like, that's just, like, someone who can do the time, but you're not famous.
Right.
But you can go kill for an hour in a room. So then I just put it into, you know, like inflation, that would be like $7,000 now.
In the 80s.
That would be the equivalent. Yeah. What you should be getting now if it stayed just with the price of inflation. That $2,500? Yeah. And so then what Rogan's paying is about right, really.
But that ain't for a weekend. That's for one spot.
That's for one. No, $1,500 for 10 minutes.
It's one spot.
Yeah.
$2,500 for a headlining weekend.
Yeah.
We're not even playing the same ball game here.
Yeah.
Playing the same game.
So I don't know if all our we were talking about it off air, but if our audience knows that Brooklyn and Manhattan are like almost two different worlds of comedy. Mm-hmm. Phil and I are mostly in Manhattan. You're mostly in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
But you live in Manhattan, perform over. What? How do you feel like you go back and forth a lot between the scenes, or like what do you even call them?
The scenes.
I guess scenes, right?
Yeah, I like to do both. I just happen to be in Brooklyn a lot more. I just like get booked there because there's a lot more independent shows.
Yeah.
As opposed to the clubs where you have to kind of go through a booker, right?
Like right.
And that's the thing that I haven't really done at a lot of these places is go through a proper, get past somewhere. But all the, you know, a lot of comics like me. So they're like, come do my show. I'm like, all right.
I felt like you were at New York and then maybe the booker changed. Because I remember seeing you in New York. Were you
again, just independent shows. Gotcha, like, it's just if somebody has one that they want me to be on. I was just there the other day on my friend Andrew and Michael's show. They do Steve Martin Presents. They were doing it for New York Comedy Fest.
Oh, okay.
And it was a great show and I loved that room, but I just, I don't know. I should probably ask around and be like, how do I get an email or whatever, but I don't know, I'm shy.
Here in Brooklyn, and I'm sure there's shows happening around me all the time, but it's the same but the opposite. Like, I could probably just ask people.
Yeah.
There's probably three shows on my block that I don't know about.
Yeah, like, I'm with him. If somebody, like one of my homies is a producer, a comic that produces, and they're like, yo, come to Brooklyn, of course, I'm not going to miss it.
Same.
Yeah, but for me to just come to Brooklyn and hang out and find spots, it's never going to happen. It's too far. And just if I'm being honest, I don't like Brooklyn shows. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't really like them. If I'll do it because that's my craft and if I'm but to the scene in Brooklyn is that the people are too fucking soft, they're too fucking woke, they're too fucking politically correct. I'm going to talk how the fuck I want to talk. If I say this gay ass, then that's what I mean. This gay ass, I don't need you to be like, oh, what did you mean by that? I mean, he sucks dick. He's a gay ass.
Yeah.
I don't, it's way too much in Brooklyn for you to walk on eggshells during shows. I feel like it's too hipster, too Gen Z. And I've had some really good shows, but I've had some shows in Brooklyn where I'm just like, how did y'all get tricked into coming?
I've bombed so hard in Brooklyn.
It's easy to bomb in fucking Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But tested material.
But clearly, you me have too. The
no.
Oh, you know?
Me too. Again. What? Pedophile, whatever. What did we call
that
me?
That is a hard sell.
What did we call me?
Work here.
So like, really, it's
it really
like, sometimes I bomb. I have certain places where I'm like, oh, I'll probably bomb there because the audience just won't get it, or they'll like see red before they can see what jokes I'm actually making.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of a part of it. I think that helps me like navigate it a little bit more performing for these people. I'm like, I know you're not getting it, but let's see how much I can win you over. And then I take it to the crowds that are actually like hip and smart. Cause to me, hip and smart is like being able to see past, you know, these like,
past,
you know,
satirical
thing. Exactly. They get the crap.
As a registered sex offender.
Exactly. Like, oh no, but I get it though. So it's, I don't know. It's, I see a mix.
Registered sex offender. That's
they all
sure.
are. How do you think they stay out so long?
Deep thinker.
The best ones are.
Tolstoy.
The best ones are.
Yeah. But I don't know. And I think maybe that was, I don't know. That is a sense I get in some rooms where I'm like, oh, these people are like, they're not going to like me because they don't want to like me. Right. But a lot of places, kind of the same. And at a lot of clubs, they don't like me either because I'm being a little bit too weird.
Yeah.
You know, and then that I lose them who are just like, we just want to like hear more like down the middle stuff. I'm like, oh, well, I don't have that. So it's like,
well, you're
I don't
not
know.
Doing like a traditional, like, I saw you one time when you had, I hope I'm not giving away your business.
Please.
But this is from like
know.
7 years ago.
Sure.
So you.
I'm sure I'm still doing it.
That's my favorite one. Yeah,
that's my still my best joke.
I forget what you did, but I remember you pretended like you forgot your material or something like that, and then you got out your notes, and then you're like, I can't even deliver these tonight. Can someone else in the audience tell my jokes? And then you had someone from the audience get up and they're reading your jokes, and then the jokes they're reading were super racist and offensive, and you start heckling. You're like, boo, this person. Like canceling them from the audience.
That's pretty funny.
But I could see doing that at a club, like a, you know, I don't know where, like a Manhattan club, and even the crowd. The crowd would be into it. I don't know who wouldn't like it, actually, now that I say
a
it.
A bit like that requires some setup. Like, it requires a 15-minute minimum long set. Like, because I need them to already, like me and get me.
You can't do that in a check spot.
One time I tried to do that at the Houston Improv Open Mic, like, years and years ago, like, when I was first starting. And they were just not into it. Like, they were just like, what is it? I have 3 minutes, and I'm trying to, like, oh, I forgot my jokes. And, like, they felt bad for me.
You're pretending like you're forgetting.
Yeah.
And then they think you're actually forgetting.
And then I finally, like, rope, because I usually, like, get, like, a woman to come on stage, because I think it's, you know, better dichotomy. You know, she's saying my jokes, so people can't hate her. And a guy comes on to the god mic, and he's like, ma'am, you can get off stage. His set's done. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's fair. I learned a lesson. Time. I learned a lesson there.
Don't do it at a Houston open mic.
Yeah. Or just at a,
Mr. Urbano, I'm telling you, your shit might be weird, but you ain't holding a candle to Joe the Muscle Russell over there. By far, one of the weirdest comedians I'd ever met. We tell the story all the time. When me and Joe first met, we did not like each other.
Oh,
I thought he was weird as fuck, and I didn't understand his comedy. I was like, so you just talk about the food you fucking eat all the time?
Hey, is anyone like chips?
Yeah, and I was like, what is this shit? And Joe didn't like me either. And we just grew on each other. When I tell you, that's one of my people, I love that motherfucker. But yeah, we did not start off strong. That's it. And so that's why when you say weird, I'm like, it's levels to it. It's levels to it.
Thanks.
I did New York Comedy Club right before, like in December. I headlined my show. And you know how they have, when you headline, you do like 45 or an hour or whatever. And then New York Comic Club wants to put someone after you to do checks. Mm. It's like the ultimate death spot. Everyone came to see the headliner. And so I asked Joe to do it. I was like, can you just do a 10-minute check spot? He's like, yeah, sure. And then he's like, wait, I have to go after you at the very end? I'm like, yeah, sorry, I'm screwing you. But there's like, whatever. Stage time. So then he goes up, and the first like minute, people are like, what the F is going on?
Do you have a favorite food?
He literally just goes up and he goes, does anyone have a favorite breakfast item?
Yeah, and you're seeing him. He was like, oh, he's stroking out.
And also they're paying their checks. And they're like, what? Wait, who? We just saw the guy we wanted to see. Like, they're trying to leave. You're like, no, we saw Turner. Anyway, within like 90 seconds, they start to catch on. And the last 8 minutes is just him destroying.
Once you on board, give it a shot. But you got to go in there with an open mind.
Yeah.
Because I really don't want to ruin this bit, but I'm telling you, his San Francisco and boy, are my arms gay. I walked out the first time. I said, what in the fuck was that?
I just flew in from San Francisco, and boy, are my arms gay.
Hey!
There he is. And I literally, the first time I said, I literally turned around and said, I'm going to the bar. I'm going to the bar. I don't know what the fuck Joe got going on. That's my dog.
All right. Should we get to our questions?
Hell yeah.
Listen, here's the way it works. We got people writing in. I don't know if we told you this, Martin. Our listeners write in questions. They need help from a black guy or a white guy or a Mexican guy.
Or my essay. Is that racist?
From Texas. He said it. I don't know. Well, is it? Oh, it's good. See, there you go.
Whoa.
Can I say it?
Well, we didn't go ahead.
Turner, come on, please.
Let's dial it back a bit, Turner.
We will be right back with your black and white advice questions.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, you want to get bonus content, early episodes, and have your questions answered on the show?
Well, then subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice and subscribe right now.
Do it, and we'll give you a shout-out on a future episode.
And I might call you the N-word.
All right, we're back with your Black and White Advice questions. Question number one comes from... Here we go. Devin in Atlanta. Devin says, I'm a black guy, and whenever we start to go bald, we always shave our head. My question is, why? Phil strokes his head. My question is, why do white guys always keep the hair on the side instead of shaving the full head when they go bald?
I'll start. Because it takes a certain type of scalp to rock a bald head. Number two, it takes confidence, something a lot of white people lack.
I don't think that's true.
And I think a lot of white people, with they don't have the right facial structure, they look like preemie babies when they go bald. So, you know, you gotta do what keeps the pussy up, right?
I think white guys have extreme confidence. But here's what I think it is. I disagree. I think the answer is that all of our heroes, white heroes, have that kind of Friar Tuck haircut, you know? First of all...
They have a comb over? Y'all's heroes have a comb
over? Hulk Hogan...
Is he a hero of yours, sir?
Is he not a hero?
No!
Hulk Hogan's
he became a hero a few years ago for you, right?
Right. Just recently, when Trump rocked out at the Trump inauguration, or whatever that was.
Oh, he's a hero of yours?
Dude, when he ripped his shirt off at that Republican convention, I almost just stormed the Capitol.
It was like he went gay on us?
I almost did. That's pretty cool.
That's wild. I'm going to tell you, if we're heroes, Macho Man's going to be a hero before Hulk Hogan.
Macho Man's. Come on. But I think he was bald, too. They all wore those kind of things on their head, actually.
Maybe, yeah, possibly.
All right, so you got Hogan. You got Larry David.
You're naming... Are these heroes that you're naming?
Jean-Luc Picard. I've done research.
Dude, Jason Statham, all right? He's a bald-headed hero.
I mean, he doesn't have the...
He saved that girl from the trunk of that car.
Does he have the hair on the side?
No, he has a real man's scalp.
Yeah. I'm trying to answer...
He asked why.
I'm giving you the reason why.
You think that is because all of y'all's heroes do that.
That's what I'm...
You're the first person to name those people as heroes. I'm like, so I'm like,
Hulk Hogan, Larry David, Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
So you say confidence. I think that's more entitlement that they have.
And there it is.
And I think there's a little bit more of a fragility behind that. So it's like, I'm going to hold on.
Real confidence.
Dearly. That's a good
point.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
It's like, well, I mean, I deserve everything, but I'm scared to not have this.
And what if they laugh at me, right?
Exactly.
Even if it's just three strands.
Yeah. Homer Simpson style, yeah.
You know who should go bald?
A hero of yours.
Homer is it?
Homer probably would.
Yeah, he's a
Mr.
hero.
Mr. Burns.
Yeah.
All our heroes, Mr. Burns.
Larry David. Like, it makes sense. You know what I mean? Nah, if we're talking, most black people, when I shave my head.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did Michael Jordan start it? I don't remember any bald black guys before Michael Jordan.
You know, Michael Jordan came to the NBA with hair.
I know.
But you're saying once he shaved it, that when it got cool?
Yeah.
I think that's when it really became like a iconic pop culture thing.
Yeah.
Because people who weren't even going bald shaved because of Mike. Be like Mike. I want to be like Mike.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But I'm going to just put this in. Black man that should shave bald, that won't, Lil Wayne, I love you. You are my all-time favorite. But them four dreads you got, baby, it's time.
That's a good list to make. What about LeBron James?
He should go bald.
He needs
too.
To go bald.
He got the he got the Turkish transplant, and you can see when he sweats, it poofs up in the fro.
Well, and he has the sweatband.
Let me tell you something. He was
working putting it higher and higher to block.
He doesn't wear the sweatband anymore, butter.
Does he not?
No, it's been years since LeBron wears a headband. But it's okay. I will help you on
that.
Who
too. Am I thinking of?
You were thinking of LeBron, and when he first started going bald, he quit wearing it because it was because he got the hair plugs, and he couldn't do that because it was rubbing the scalp. So, but no, the hair plug. Would you get hair plugs?
I don't think so.
No, you just if it started coming out, you just let that shit rot.
Yeah, and I wouldn't shave it. I can't shave because
you pull the Costanza.
Maybe here's the answer. Costanza, that's another hero.
That is the only hero on that list. Costanza. That is literally the only person you named that is even close.
So my ears are too big to shave my head. I would look like a just straight up circus elephant.
I can actually see that now. Yeah. That you mention it.
So
they're elf ears.
My dad has my same ears, and he still has like a 1960s Beatles haircut that comes over the ears because he's so self conscious. No. He has a full head of hair.
I was like, shit, G.
You got a great head of hair.
Yeah, I'm not in fear of this at all. No. And what? In my culture, we just put on a sombrero.
Hey! There you go.
Never, no one's ever gone bald.
Next time you go to Austin, you'll see all these guys just walking down the street in sombreros.
Cowboy hats.
My grandpa, who was balding, had a cowboy hat. That was my plan.
I've always wanted to rock a good cowboy. Like, if I moved back down like to that part, like Louisiana, I'd probably rock a cowboy hat.
It's a cool look.
It is such a good look, man. Yeah. Especially, man, like, it's just, and women love it.
Yeah.
They're like, my God, the confidence.
Yeah. Again, confidence.
Black guy in a cowboy hat, hamburger is pretty great.
What you know about hamburger? Okay. Look at Turner staying up late to watch Comic View.
Hamburger, another hero.
That's a real hero.
That's a real, I hear he still kills.
The undisputed champ. I was just with him at that game with your boy Paul, that celebrity basketball game. Paul.
Hamburger played in the game?
Hamburger was one of the coaches.
So New York Comedy Club during the New York Comedy Festival had a basketball game.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hamburger coaches?
Hamburger was one of the coaches.
Was he drawing out X's and O's?
No, I went up to him.
Was he saying, he's like, all right, go left, Hamburger.
He walked up to me, he was like, hey, man. He was like, hey, man, you a comedian? Hurtful. But I was like, yeah, man. He was like, yo, what's your number? He's like, I still produce shows in Jersey. I'd love to get you on. I said, Hamburger.
I was walking down the street, Hamburger.
Would you say he was doing a good job, like coaching?
No, he had no idea what was going on.
So you don't think he was like a hamburger helper?
And this is what you get from Joe the Muscle Russell. It's always going to go back to food. And so you just he wasn't
take
a hamburger.
I had to get to that joke. Jesus.
That was a he had to set me up.
He went all the way around the city.
Were you sitting on that, or did you think of it and then say it? I'm so curious.
I thought about 30 seconds before I said it.
The perfect amount of time.
Yeah, it was the perfect amount. He was like, how can I incorporate hamburger?
Next question. All right. Jennifer in Dallas. She says, I'm white and my husband is black. When we started dating.
She got ass. She in Dallas, Texas with a black husband. That thing is poking.
Hey. When we started dating, I was blown away at how much he and all his friends like old kung fu movies. My question is, why do black guys love kung fu movies so
much?
It was an error.
It was just an error. Like, and that's every black person from a certain generation. Like, I missed that era. My uncle and all my big aunt cousins and stuff, they all... Dolomite, all those, what are they called?
Blaxploitation
films. Kung Fu was such, because Bruce Lee was so big. And so all the black kids growing up used to watch Bruce Lee every Saturday. So they used to do that. And so as they got older, started making movies, they wanted to be able to fight and make it black, but Kung Fu. Because just like, and that's just like, era thing, like a time era thing. Because my father's generation, my dad's big, he watches, John Wayne is his favorite, he watches all the Westerns.
Yeah.
That was their generation.
My parents too.
Western. Yeah. But you get to that, people who were born late 60s, around that time.
Like Gen X?
Yeah, mid 60s, late 60s, when they were like teenagers, kids in the 70s. Kung Fu is so big in their lives, it's unbelievable. That's not just him. I mean, that's a time thing, you know what I mean?
What about anime?
Did that hit you? That's our kung fu. I hate it. I don't watch the shit, but I know people who go. We were talking about that last episode. Like, I had never felt more like a loser than going to a comedy club green room with a bunch of anime watchers. They're like, did you see One Piece? I was like, she was wearing a One Piece? They're like, nah, it's this cartoon. I'm like, get some pussy.
But no, is that only, we're saying the green room's on the road. It's all like anime talk. And then it's
big, and food.
Food. Big fat guys with beards talking about food. Like, bro, I just had this great lunch.
Yeah, it's normally somewhere in like Ohio or Indianapolis. And
that's weird. In my green rooms, it's just jerking off. I don't know. What...
Well, it's all about who you surround yourself with, you know?
But how did it go? Because I don't know anyone who watched Kung Fu. It just wasn't. It didn't hit. My neighborhood.
Do you know older black people in the white neighborhood that had no black people?
No, but that's my question. Why didn't it hit white people? It came from Asia straight to the black
people.
Well,
it's because y'all normally do the whooping. So that's why probably y'all weren't into it. It's like,
oh, no, people were into Bruce Lee, but I feel like it just ended at Bruce Lee.
White people watch Bruce Lee and are like, I'll never be athletic enough to do a roundhouse. Black people's like, Nick, I can do that right now.
That's
good. That's good.
I can do a backflip, round off, handspring, front flip. And they're like, do it.
Honestly, I think that's the answer. It didn't resonate because I didn't think, like, it's like me watching someone do a triple sow count figure skating. I'm like, I get that's cool, but I gotta move on with my
day. Like white dudes watching YouTube of dunk videos.
Figure skate.
Y'all will watch LeBron James dunk compilation, but you're like, wow, what an athlete. Black people watch that like, I think I can do that back dunk. You know what I mean? Like,
No, I was like, I could do that on a mini hoop.
Oh, that's what you thought?
Yeah. Let me go put it on the door in my bedroom.
Yeah. There was so much dunking going on in the 1950s NBA. All right, listen. No white person sees somebody dunk like, I could probably do that.
No, I'm saying I could do it on my mini hoop.
Oh, you talking about your little stress relief?
Yeah. Okay. Every kid's like, there's no thought I could ever do it on a 10-foot hoop.
But once you get to a certain age, reality, like, I don't think I could.
Yeah, no, I could never dunk.
Yeah, we're 26 watching Kung Fu, like, no, I can do that.
Have you dunked?
Once in my life.
Have you ever dunked?
No.
I can. The closest I got, I could touch the rim. But it wasn't even the real part. It was the part.
So no, you've never dunked.
That's dunking.
Yeah. I touched the backboard one time.
That's dunking. Yeah.
That was probably the best day of my high school life.
When you touched the net.
When I could get to the part that comes down to the rim.
Oh, where they put the net in.
Yeah.
Those little pieces.
Like there's the rim, and then there's that little, you know, the rim's orange, and then the part that connects to the backboard. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you mean the base.
The base. Or the wire, whatever. That part.
It was a real big day.
The greatest day of my high school.
Real big day at the Sparks household.
Babe, we got us an athlete.
Was Kung Fu big in the Mexican culture?
No, it was anime at the my generation. Yeah, Dragon Ball Z was big.
What about, I remember reading one time that Morrissey was big in like the Latin American community.
Yes, yes.
How did that come about?
I missed it, but that was, I don't know.
Who's Morrissey?
Morrissey was a singer for the Smiths. Who was like an 80s British band, late 70s, 80s British band. Really good, kind of like original, I don't even know how to call it, rock. There was no genre. But then Morrissey went solo, but he's like a white guy from England who then somehow, like Kung Fu with black people, tapped into like the Latin American community in America. Do you have any idea how?
He was backed by the cartel.
Could be. I really don't know anything about him. In fact, I didn't hear a lot about Morrissey until I became friends with Chris Gethard, who was like a huge fan and had a tattoo of Morrissey across his arm. And then Morrissey said some things. I don't even know what, but then Chris covered that tattoo up.
Oh, so he got canceled?
I don't know what he said. I don't know.
He said Doritos was better than Takis. He was like, get the fuck out of here. Let me ask you something before we move on.
Yeah. Mm.
As a Mexican American, how do you feel about Selena's killer wanting to parole? That stupid bitch.
If she gets it, she won't survive.
She won't make it a day.
A day.
She won't. Yeah. People to this day still want her dead for killing Selena.
Yeah.
That is wild. Selena is literally one of the biggest Mexican artists I've ever seen and ain't been here in almost 30 years.
There's been like 3 different adaptations of her story, and she had like lived for like so little time.
She was 23 years old.
People love her.
She would have been bigger than any pop star we've seen.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't think she realizes, Yolanda Saldivar is her name, I don't think she realizes she's not safe outside of prison.
No. If you made it 30 years in prison, this is as safe as it gets. Because out here, in Texas, you're going to get put down.
Yeah.
She was the head of her fan club, right?
Yeah.
Am I remembering right?
Yeah. And got accused of stealing.
Stole money,
And so then came back and shot her. And now you want parole? Motherfucker.
I was in Austin a year ago, and we were in a bar, and there was a Selena tribute band playing.
Whoa.
unbelievably good.
Yeah.
And I was like, every one of these songs is amazing. I didn't know much. I mean, I knew who Selena was, but I couldn't have told you like the music. It's insanely good.
Yeah.
No, she was really talented. Only reason I know her whole story is because the movie used to come on VH1 like every weekend. But I was a fan. Classic. And she was fine as hell.
And you got Richie Valens, too. He died in the 50s. Wasn't he Mexican-American?
Is that La Bamba?
Yeah.
Yeah.
La Bamba.
It took everybody down.
We lose our stars early. Yeah.
He's also from Texas, right?
We lose our stars early.
I don't know.
Texas was part of Mexico back in the 60s.
I don't believe that's true. Possibly. In the 1960s.
A few years ago, yeah.
A few years ago.
And Joe Rogan came in there like, okay, we'll make it.
He got them their freedom. Yeah, he got them their freedom.
He's like, I'll pay you $1,500 for 10 minutes. Yeah. So, all right, you can be part of America. All right. Nice. Last question. Oh, here we go. This is one for everybody. This is Courtney from Germany.
I'm Berliner.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. She says, I did a semester abroad this year at Temple University in Philadelphia and discovered that Americans talk so much about issues they don't understand.
She irritating, John.
She said the economy, global politics, even, and then in quotes, she says soccer. Where do you all get this unfounded confidence?
Because we're America. And until you dominate the Olympics, Germany, you ain't got nothing to say to us.
It's called World War II.
Domination.
That's where we get the confidence.
Y'all brought this on yourself. We ain't tell you to sign up with them motherfuckers.
Grandpa Sparks, go ahead.
She came here.
Right.
Yeah.
She came to us.
You don't come to this country, you're going to speak our language. Shit.
No, you came to Temple University.
Right.
Not exactly Ivy League.
Easy. I know a couple people went to Temple.
Hey, go Owls.
They're
like
fairly Temple. Intelligent.
I'm just saying. Here's the point. I think World War II, that's where we got our confidence.
That's
right?
Exactly. Because before World War II, everybody was shook, scared of Japan. Japan was out here running shit. It's a tiny island. 6 million of them motherfuckers.
They were running the United States. History according to Phil Duckett.
First of all, you can fact check this on TikTok. Let me tell you, Japan was a powerhouse. And guess what? When we fucking smashed them, that was game over.
Wait, we also smashed Germany. Yeah, it was a two-prong. How about that? Going around the world both ways and meeting in the middle.
Ask Japan or Germany who had it worse.
Oh, you mean with the
we
bombs?
Dropped two motherfucking bombs on their ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, no. They, I'm telling you, they went to computers immediately after that. It was like, oh, we didn't know we was playing in varsity.
They started minding their P's and Q's.
Yeah, they was like, we got an app called Uber coming out in 70 years.
They imported Elvis immediately. Yeah. They're like, we love America.
Why do you fuck with the Breck, man? And it was like, well, we killed it. So I think that's where it is. You know?
My grandpa fought in World War II. Look at that. Man.
Oh, wow. Where?
Oh, yeah. In the ocean somewhere.
Nice.
I'm like, you American. I'm like, Mexico was in World War II, too?
American, yeah, Mexican American.
Yeah. He was born after Joe
Rogan.
But
let me tell you, if I don't know much, but if it was World War II and he was Mexican and didn't look white, he was cooking just like the black people was there. They weren't letting us shoot no motherfucking guns during World War II. We was cooking.
Really?
Yeah, unless you like a Red Tail, like a Tuskegee Airmen. They were one of the first people they let like go to war and fly shit. Black people in those early wars, they were kitchen. They were the help. They were military, but they didn't let them like fight with whites unless it was like an all black battalion.
That almost sounds. My grandpa was front lines in Normandy, so I think cooking would have been better. He was getting shot at by Nazis.
Well, at the time, y'all were like the smartest, most intelligent, most athletic people they had ever seen. So y'all went front line. We probably could have ended that war about 30 years earlier if they put some black people. A couple of brothers would have been out there. They're like, you know what? We actually want to play golf today.
Oh, my God. All right. That's it. One last thing to do before we get to Patreon. We got White Lies and Dark Truths. This is the part of the show, Martin, where everything we've just said, Joe fact checks us on it to tell us what we got right, what we got wrong.
I forgot to do it.
Oh!
It's all right, because guess what? We didn't speak one lie today.
Wait, can I do one? The World War II wasn't a 30-year war. Can I just start there?
Well, I think everybody knows I was exaggerating. I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
It was actually 26 years. That's why they called it the Great War.
That was World War I was the Great War.
Oh, now you're fucking history.
I think before World War II, though, Japan was kind of a quaint sort of country, right? With paper houses and...
And that needs to be fact-checked because that is complete...
No,
Japan was like one of the scariest, biggest navies. They had the craziest navy. They had the best air force. Japan was nasty.
They were trying to take over China. They were in half of China. The rape of Nanjing happened.
Yeah.
before we entered the war.
Which is wild.
They were not a polite paper house. What did you say? They lived in paper mache homes?
Paper mache houses? No.
Apparently that house is made out of rape.
Oh, boy. That's the episode.
We're going to edit that for sure.
That is it. Martin, everybody check it out. The Apology Comeback Tour, available now on YouTube. What's up, Japanese audience?
It was made with rape. It's crazy.
We hate to see you go. Give us another chance. We'll be back next week. Just come on. We're nice people.
Was that a play on tape?
The Rape of Nantucket. That's what he said.
Not Nantucket.
Right. And that's in Massachusetts.
There's a poem made about the Rape of Nantucket.
No,
right?
It once was a man from Nantucket. Yeah,
it was the Rape of Nanjing.
Are we still on the air? That's
straight into the Patreon.
Stay black.
You've got a question, but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message, cause they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice, they ain't always nice, but you can't think twice and give it black and white advice. Black and white advice.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.